like somebody's getting married, I tell you, down that aisle.
It's always an honor to be able to speak here. Pastor Joe approached me as I was coming into church last Sunday and said, "Hey, would you preach this week or next?" And I didn't hesitate to say yes, because the Lord had already been laying a sermon on my heart. I didn't know where I was going to preach it until he said that that morning. So I feel like I do have a word from the Lord today. I wasn't even anticipating, however, when the Lord gave me that message, that the next week would be Valentine's. So, and when Pastor Joe had said, you know, you don't, it's Valentine's next week, you don't have to speak according to that. But, you know, no matter what, no matter where we are in the Word of God, somehow it's always going to somehow bring us back to the love that Jesus Christ has for us. Amen? So whether you want to call us Valentine's or not, it doesn't matter. But let's turn in our Bibles today to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I found it real interesting, both through the songs and what our brother said before before the offering, that, you know, my message has pretty much already been preached today. It always is good to have that kind of confirmation come, so you know people are praying and people are listening to the Lord. And that just gives you a little more confidence. Second Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm reading in the New International Version. It has a heading in front of the third verse. It says, "The God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." And I think I'll just stop there with the reading of the word. You know, this passage starts out with just praise to God. Blessed be, or another version says, praise be unto the Father of mercies, or compassion, and to the God of all comfort. Paul and Silas, they were some people who knew how to praise the Lord when they were in a troublesome situation, didn't they? They found themselves in prison, and the whole situation turned around, but at first it looked pretty bleak while they were there. But they just began to praise the Lord. And I find that works for me, and I know it'll work for you too. If you're in a time of desperation or a time of despair, just begin to think about all of the names of God, all of the things that the Bible tells us that reveal who God is, such as these. He's a God of compassion. And he's a God of compassion. I was just this week thinking about some of these and what that means to me. You know, we praise him because of this relationship that comes to us. He is my provider. Amen? He is my everlasting hope. He is my refuge, my deliverer. Hallelujah. He's my dwelling place in all generations. He's my bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's my Savior. He's my rock. Somewhere along the line, I start getting blessed. I might start out just a little bit, just kind of recitation or just trying to remember. But after a while, it just starts to flowing. And before too long, like the Scripture says, that God inhabits the praises of our people. Hallelujah. And so it just keeps going. My fortress, my shield. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. He's the Prince of Peace. How do you stay in despair too long with that? Amen. He's the Bread of Life. He's the Son of God. He's Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Emmanuel. Hallelujah. But Paul, he comes along and he says, and he's the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Hallelujah. We can celebrate that today, the comfort we have, because the relationship that has been given to us, that he's our Father and his Son, bring us comfort today. Hallelujah. In the scriptures that we share with you today, the word comfort has a little different meaning than what we normally think of. Today we have political candidates that I was just listening again last night, although I'd already, worked on my sermon and all, and I was thinking, every one of those candidates is trying to somehow make you feel comfortable with them as president, and they're also trying to tell you that if you elect them, life is going to be a whole lot comfortable for you than it is now. And they've got all kinds of ways to say that. Some offer more gays, some less Muslims, some amnesty, some say free everything, and some offer more taxes for free stuff. All kinds of promises made trying to say, hey, life will be comfortable if you just put me in office. But Paul, he's talking about comfort in a whole different way, and he links two capital C's together depending on what version you're in. He says the word Father of compassion or mercies, and he calls out to the God of all comfort. Blessed be to the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, the word comfort here in the Bible, the way it's used here in some other passages in the Bible, it is the same word that is used as a name given to none else than, as you know, the Holy Spirit. And not just to the Holy Spirit, but to Jesus also. John 14:6, Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. That means he's a comforter. And when he goes, he's going to send you another comforter. Same word as the one we find here in 1 Corinthians that talks about the God of our Father. He's the God of all comfort. And as these words are repeated in our passage today, in different ways, showing the application, how God gave you comfort, so now you're able to comfort other people. They get comfort from you. You get comfort from them. Just uses different forms of the same word. And so we need to grasp what he's talking about when he says comfort today. Very literally, the word comfort here means to come alongside. God calls us to his side, or he comes alongside to encourage us. Think of that the next time you're reading that passage about the Holy Spirit, and he says the Comforter will come. Just remember what that means. God will come along beside you. He will come along beside you. As I read that and dug into that, it blessed me so much, and I started making that a prayer right then and there. I said, God, stand by me. Holy Spirit, just right now, come alongside of me. That's what his name means. Amen? His very name summons him from heaven to come beside us. His very name calls us. When we call out his name, we're calling God, the God of all comfort, to come alongside of us and to stand by us. I don't know what that does for you, but to know that I'm not in this life alone, that the fact that there is a God that I believe in, that God by his very name is a God who comes and stands by me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when I was given this passage at that time, I'm not totally sure that I knew where I'd be speaking next week, but my younger daughter and I, she had invited me to come to Dallas and to help with a homeless ministry they have there. It was just a food prep. It ended up that we went along with them and did some serving as well, but I'm telling you that here today just because it kind of overshadows or affects my thinking when I think about, okay, how am I supposed to take this God of all comfort and bringing him to some people in life circumstances that aren't very comfortable at all? So I just want you to know where I'm coming from here today. But God comes alongside us, and he calls us to his side, and he's on our side. Another way to say it is he stands by us, he stands up for us, and he stands with us. Praise the Lord. Now, when you're a pastor, that's one of the roles of a minister, is to go and to stand by sheep. Whether you're a pastor or a congregation member who's taken up that ministry. When you go to the hospital or you visit someone at a funeral, you're standing by the sick or the dying. When you're praying for people, you're standing in the gap, aren't you? You're coming alongside of them in prayer. Jesus, we have many examples, but just a couple. Jesus came alongside Peter and Andrew when he called them to follow him. He came by James and John. The Bible says he came alongside there. He went to the seashore, went beside them where they were fishing in their everyday business of life. And that's something that we do. Do we find Jesus came alongside of tax collectors and sinners in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10? You can see that. One thing I'll never forget that has stuck with me in ministry was attending the same general council that my wife and I went to. Our presbyter was at it. He was pastoring at that time in Ames, Iowa. And he had a 13-year-old son that had to be rushed to the hospital. Suddenly his throat had begun to constrict. I'm not sure exactly what type of cancer it was, whether it was something with the sinuses or if it was more esophageal. But anyhow, it was a very serious thing. Could hardly breathe. They did what they could. He ended up going home, and despite all the prayers and all of the suffering and everything else that took place, he ended up going to be with the Lord at just 13 years of age. But the thing that really stuck with my mind in that situation was what the pastor, the presbyter in that case, said about what comforted him the most. How do you go to somebody like that and minister in that kind of situation when they're hurting? You know, they're exercising faith, but the situation looks bleak. It looks like there's a death sentence that's on the person. How do you go and minister? What do you say? What do you do? And this presbyter said something here. He said what administered to him the most, and you know, there's a lot of ministers that were over him, a lot of people in his congregation that I'm sure came and went and visited in the hospital or at the house and so forth. But the thing that ministered to him the most is that somebody thought to get an ice chest, fill it full of ice and Cokes and bottles of water, so that while they were in the hospital room, they and the family that visited them and also the other guests that came along, they'd have something to offer them. Wow! He said that to this group of ministers very shortly after in the sectional meeting, and it just really struck me deeply on that. It doesn't sound like a big statement of faith or something like that, but it's somebody had come alongside him. That's an aspect of comfort. You come alongside someone who's hurting, somebody who's in despair. Just stand by them. Amen. Just be a shoulder. Sometimes you don't have to say a thing, do you? Just be there. Just be there. I remember it was kind of awkward when my mother, I'd gotten news that she had come down with cancer. And I went home, and I went home and over spring break. And within 2 days, she had passed away and died of cancer. And I remember when I came back, it seemed kind of awkward because I had three friends pick me up in a vehicle. They just didn't know what to say, you know. They didn't say a thing to me. And I actually, at that time, because of all the prayers going up, you know, I was probably just feeling the presence of the Lord everywhere. And so I thought, man, I wonder why they're not talking. But I came to realize then and shortly afterwards, that meant so much. They didn't have to say anything. They were just there for me. They were just standing by my side, supporting me. That is real, real comfort. That's exactly what the word comfort means. That's what the ministry of comfort is all about. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we can shout our prayers out on the mountain. How many of you ever shouted out a prayer? Now, if you shout out a prayer, other places that people might just look at you, depending on whether everybody else is shouting or not. But we can shout out our prayers on a mountaintop, and we can cry out loud in a closet. Amen? But sometimes when we're in the hospital room, we're visiting somebody that's either sick or dying, what we can do at that time is to come alongside them gently to minister. Amen? Come with a gentle spirit. Hallelujah. I'm going to say something here, and they might put it up on the wall here in just a bit. God can heal with a shadow just as easily as he can heal with a shout. Amen? God can heal. I'll give you a verse if you need it. Acts 5:15. They were laying the sick in the street so that when Peter walked by, the shadow of Peter might just fall upon him, and people were being healed. Because the shadow, not the shadow of Peter, if you really get down to it, it's the shadow of the Almighty, amen? When we come alongside, don't forget that there's someone who is alongside of you, amen? The Comforter, when you come alongside to comfort, the Holy Spirit, the God of all comfort, shows up as well, amen? Anything can happen when God shows up to bring his comfort, hallelujah. And in Peter's case, there were people, you know, come alongside, just coming alongside. We don't think of that. Sometimes we think of our declaration or the things that we shout or the things that we proclaim in a congregation. But I want you to know that coming alongside is a powerful healing force. I hope I can drive that home today. I believe that's what the passage is telling us. The God of all comfort. That's who he is. He's the God who comes alongside us. And when he comes in, when the shadow of the Almighty, I'll give you another verse here, Psalm 91 and verse 1. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If you're praying, if you're in the presence of the God of God and you're dwelling in his presence, there's a shadow that goes with you places. Maybe the Holy Spirit will prompt you to speak. Maybe he will give you a scripture to share or a song. Maybe you'll just minister in loving silence. But know in whatever case that the shadow of the Almighty is there with you, and that shadow of the Almighty is filling that place, covering that situation. What a powerful healing force. Praise you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. I want to read this in the message to you. Because it mentions the word all alongside, the meaning of that word comfort. It says, all praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. Verse 4, for he comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. I think of the three Hebrew children in that fiery furnace. Talk about desperate, amen? They knew this was probably it, could very well be it. They were going to serve God whether God delivered him or not. They'd made that decision. But in the middle of their troublesome situation, in the middle of that burning flame, what happened? They were shadowed by a fourth person. And we find out it was someone like unto, or someone who was, the Son of God. The God of all comfort was there. And that's what Paul says to us. He writes in our original passage here. He says, he's the God of all comfort, and he's the God who comforts us in all of our troubles. In all of our troubles. He doesn't wait till the troubles are over. But he comes alongside us when we're right in the middle of that trouble. Whether that answer comes real plainly, whether that situation clears up or not, that doesn't take away from the fact that the God of comfort is right there in that situation with you. There is no step that you have ever made in your life that God hasn't been there. Amen? Been there, in it, with you. He's seen it. He's felt the heat around it. The desperation that's there. He's in it with you. I don't know about you, but that brings me some comfort. Amen? God's in it. There's sometimes I kind of question, are you really here? Are you really in this? And sometimes he just plain doesn't answer me. But I know he's beside me. And I know he's in that troublesome time with me. He's alongside of me. Well, we need to take that and we need to say, hey, what do I do with that now? When I go to visit somebody in prison or you go to visit, what can you say to comfort them? How can you come alongside to encourage somebody? How do you come alongside people who are in famine? They're just starving, or they're famine, or in drought. There's no water around. Desperate, people dying all around. How do you encourage people in a desperate situation? You know, it's not just non-Christians that go through a rough time, but Christians do too. Paul the Apostle, he's the one who wrote this and much of the New Testament, and according to the Scripture, it tells us that Paul was despairing of life at times in his ministry and in times of his work. Life got hard for him. It's hard for me to grasp that, but there were times in the ministry of the Apostle Paul that this is how he felt. Death would be easier for me than to keep on living. That's how desperate it was. If you, a different version, I think it was in the Message or one of the others that I'd read, it said it was as though a death sentence had been passed upon me. That's pretty bleak looking. And yet he brings out his own example here. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5 through 7. You want to look at that in the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians verse 5 through 7. Here the Apostle Paul says that somebody came and stood alongside him. Somebody came to comfort him. Who was that? It was Titus, one of his brothers. Titus was there. He came with the God of all comfort. He came with comfort he had received, and he used that same ministry of coming alongside to minister to the Apostle Paul when he was in the midst of this desperate place. Brother Shelby, he and a few others go with him every week to Hope on the Street on Monday, ministering to the homeless and hungry. And I decided to ask him a question. And so I asked him this. I said, Shelby, do you remember any comment that a homeless person left with you that speaks about their greatest need? What comforts them the most? Or what ministers to them the most? Something they've said that just stuck with you? And it didn't take him very long to reply at all. He in two words, right away, said, dry socks. Most of them are very lonely, no family. Or if they have a family, they have given up on them. He said, I had a lady tell me this week, she said, thank you for doing what you do. It has reminded me that there really is a God that cares about me more than I have cared about myself. Comfort. Amen. Those who are in Hope on the Street, Brother Shelby, every Monday you stand by Jesus when you minister in that way. Every Monday. Hallelujah. According to the Scripture, you stand by the Lord Jesus. Let me paraphrase the Scripture. You all know it. If somebody comes to you and gives you a Coke or a burrito or dry socks to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. Amen. When you come along aside somebody, you come alongside Jesus Christ. You get that? You come along somebody to comfort them. You've actually, I'm not going to put it over here, I'm going to put it right. You've actually come alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, according to the Word of God. That's a blessed ministry, amen? Hallelujah. The God of all comfort, and now you're comforting others in the same way that God does. Hallelujah. Praise God. The second thought I have today, Paul takes it a little further in the 2 Corinthians. He goes from the ministry of comfort to the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah, that's a word I've heard a few times today already. I've heard it in the singing about standing in our place on the cross, and I heard our brother sharing it before the Word of God today. But when we stand by someone, it brings great comfort, but it opens the door for the greatest gift that we can ever give, and that is to know Jesus Christ has stood in their place. And if you look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21, the message there is, be reconciled. Jesus took your place at Calvary. Amen. He stood in your place. Your sin he took upon himself. He's not a sinner, but you are. And he took your sin, stood in your place. And you need to be reconciled with that fact. He's very, very plain in here. You need to come to a decision. You can't just know that God is love. But at some point, as was given the testimony today, it might be 9 or 10 years later, at some point, you need to be reconciled with God. You need to not only know he came and stood in your place, but you need to receive him and repent of your sins and ask that God of all comfort who's come alongside you all this time, been knocking on the door of your heart, ask him in, confess your sins, and then go in a different direction with the Lord. Amen? That's the ministry of reconciliation, and that's what Paul tells us in the Scriptures. You know, it wasn't that long ago, it was on the news for the longest time because, and I have yet, and I say of yet, I'm not going to do it unless maybe somebody gives it to me one day, but I have never bought a lotto ticket. Never have done it. Now, but I'm like everybody else. I started to think, what would I do if I got that $500 million jackpot or however high that thing got? It was astronomical. And I really have some good things to do. I know I could probably spend it better than they do. But I want to change that around because, you know, that's a game of chance that millions will never win. So let's make it into the form of a question. What will you do with streets of gold and no more tears, the life that Jesus is offering you? What will you do with that one? This is a sure promise that he is preparing a place for us. The Bible, you turn to the end of your Bible in Revelation 21 and 22, where there's a new heavens and a new earth, and you see the streets of gold. You see there's no more pain. You talk about comfortable. There is no more crying. Amen? There is no desperation there. The God of all comfort, you're living with him day and night in his light. There is no sin. There is no failing any longer. We're with him forever. Amen? What are you gonna do with that? Let's take it a step further. What will we do with these winning eternal life tickets that are in our hands? They're already paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've been given, they're not free tickets, paid for tickets. Amen. $500 million, that's chump change. Eternal life are the tickets in your hand. And there's not only one for you, but there's some more for you to give out to some other people already paid for. What will you do with that? So Paul says we need to have this ministry of reconciliation. Paul, I think the word is, implores us. He's begging us, use it. Use that ticket. Amen? Think of ways to transition from that comforting ministry, that coming alongside, to actually reconciling someone with God. Make that transition. At some point, you need to confront. Yes, you need to come alongside. As Shelby shared with me just before service, I had asked him further ago with the questions I gave him, but I mentioned it to him this morning. I said, I may quote you today. And he said, you know, it's hard for people to listen while they're freezing, you know, while they're starving. So you've got to come alongside. You've got to be that comforting person, like the God of comfort who came alongside of us. And then as he continues to realize his reveal his love and faithfulness, then there comes that thing that we all must face, and that is be reconciled with God. You need to make that decision. You need to come to Christ, whether it's here in this place or whether it's the people you're ministering to in the workplace or in the food line or wherever it is, confront people. You've got the ticket. What are you going to do with it? Praise God. Jesus came alongside the woman at the well. Philip came alongside the Ethiopian eunuch. Jesus came alongside the woman caught in adultery. All these people had someone come alongside them, but then they were challenged to be reconciled with the Father. A lot of people have many failures in relationships. If you're ministering to the homeless, you see people who there's not a whole lot of trust. They've seen a whole lot of failure in their own lives, and they've been disappointed in other people that are around them. But as we sang this morning, Jesus never fails. Amen? Jesus never fails. There was something that stuck in my mind when we were doing what we called a Good for the Hood apartment outreach in Houston. You laugh about that. I had some ask me, are you saying we live in the hood? I said, it means neighborhood, okay? Neighborhood. But the thing that really stuck out to me is they had had a lot of different outreaches come into the neighborhood from different Christian groups, apparently. And he said, but they never stay. And I'm not trying to discount that, because I know firsthand it takes a lot of work to get everything together to do just a one-day event. It takes some toil and it takes some prayers. Every time we planned an event like that, it seemed like we'd come under the attack of Satan. We'd go through so many things because he did not want us stepping into his territory. There's a lot of preparation spiritually, materially, and physically that just has to take place to be able to minister to people that are of great need. And yet, this guy, it just stuck with me what he said. They don't come back. They don't come back. I'm so glad the people at Hope on the Street keep coming back, aren't you? They know they'll be there. My brother, he's done a ministry both in New Jersey and now in Jacksonville. 22 years, Father's Love has been going on. They take in kids that basically their fathers aren't around anymore. They do ministry after school, do some weekend things with them. They come in, play basketball, do other crafts and stuff. They get fed. They take some discipleship classes, some Bible classes. They go on missions trips or some fun trips as well together. Just different ways that they come alongside. And the thing that caught my attention, I went there a few weeks ago with one of our brothers from Calvary Commission. And the one thing, I hadn't even seen the place myself. And then to hear him say that for 22 years, and he says, you know, it just started at first, it was just a few people, and now they're pretty well packed with people. At least the day that we came, they were. And he said it took 22 years for it to get to this spot. They had to build trust. Single moms who'd been disappointed, had failures in relationship, trust had to be built. They had to feel safe that when they let their kid go to that place, that they'd be comfortable with that. Amen. And over time, maybe a small event, then something else, and then even a missions trip, they're so glad that there's somewhere that their kid can go and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and do his work. So that takes some time. Amen. It takes some time for that to happen. And that's part of the reconciling ministry. I guess if we wanted to make a Valentine's message today, I would give one bit of advice today. Everybody, maybe you've heard too much this weekend, I don't know. But I think this is the biggest mistake couples make in marriage. And I'll clarify, apart from what we'll say in a non-violent marriage. Okay? Have to clarify that. But I think the biggest mistake some people make in a marriage situation is that in order for something to change, because they're not happy the way the situation they're in right now, they threaten to leave. If you don't, then I'm going. Or even walk out the door. And it undermines that security relationship, that security of knowing I will be here. Just like Jesus, he never fails. Amen. We'll get through this. Right? We'll get through it. Now, I know it's a different situation when violence is involved, but don't ever use that. There are other ways to work out problems, to get help, to seek the Lord's help. But by all means, don't threaten it by saying, I'm not going to be around anymore. Because then that just creates a fear that goes on and on and on from the time you first said it. There'll always be a wondering in the back of the mind. I wonder if they'll be here tomorrow. Just a bit of advice for you young ones starting out. Amen? I must be getting up there. I think that's the first time I said you young ones in a sermon. It catches up. Last thing, we have the God who, in the ministry of comfort, he comes alongside us. He stands by me. We have the ministry of reconciling, standing in place. God stands in my place, amen, at Calvary. The last thing we find is this ministry of partnership that we could summarize by stand with me. Stand with me. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23. As for Titus, he is my brother and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the church and an honor to Jesus Christ. Paul's concern that he had for people became Titus's concern. It had caught on. This ministry of reconciliation, this coming alongside of ministry, it had been birthed in Titus. Now we find that Titus, this son in the faith, he is working alongside of Paul. Matter of fact, he's doing everything Paul is doing. If there's offerings they're taking someplace, Titus, he's trusted to go along. Titus had enthusiasm. Nobody had to tell Titus what to do of his own initiative, the scripture says. He would volunteer to go do it. He had excitement about doing it, and thank God for that. As a matter of fact, it became such that Paul did not want to go anywhere without Titus. He went to one place of ministry, and it was a powerful place. A lot of good ministry could have been done, but he looked around and he said, my brother Titus is not here. I'm not going to be able to minister here today. Talk about partnership in ministry, to be that tight in laboring together, that you're working and effectively working together, that you don't even want to go out there on your own. You need that brother. You need that sister. You know, that's what discipleship is supposed to look like. A lot of times we confuse discipleship with Bible classes. We take discipleship, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. People need to learn the basics of Christ, amen? They need to know about this love of Christ. Where else are you going to learn unless you're in a class, some of the things that can be taught from the Bible? But then there is that on-the-job training we need also, amen? And for discipleship to be true discipleship, it's not just a discipleship 101 class. For discipleship to truly become discipleship, it comes a full circle, and it comes into fruition when the individual that is in your class does a 180-degree repentance. 180-degree repentance is not just being stopped in your tracks and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, but it's turning around and starting to go in the exact same direction as the person who first brought you comfort is going. You know repentance has truly happened when somebody is serving beside you in ministry. Think about it. Would it be possible for someone to cooperate with you, to serve beside you, to be a co-laborer, and not be going the same direction as you? Amen? That's why it's such an important part of discipleship. When they begin to disciple others just like you are, when they're sent and they're sending others, then they become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's such a wonderful thing to us to remember when we're ministering to people, is to have it go the distance to where they are going along with us, and we are making opportunities for them to be a co-laborer with us. So they're doing the same thing that we are doing now. Amen? And just to give you a little illustration here, and then we'll just wrap this up here today very quickly. A co-laborer, they can give to the project if they're not able to go on to it, go to the site, they can give to it. A co-laborer can prepare food, they can cook food, they can do dishes, they can pay for gas in the truck, they can gather donations from people, they can set up the tent, set up the tables, set up the sound, guard the equipment and the staff. Sometimes you need the staff guarded too. I was a little worried for my daughter when 10 feet from her, someone was shooting up heroin. We were in a pretty tough spot. Passing out invites, knocking on doors, serving the food, or, it's a big list. And there's a lot of things that we can all get involved in. Amen. A lot of things that can be done. We had a group we called the Oarsmen. That's spelling oar just a little bit differently. O-A-R-S. It was an acrostic, and it stood for Oversight, Accountability, Responsibility, and Service. That sounds like a ministry team, doesn't it? People that are laboring together in all of the areas to come alongside somebody to present Jesus Christ. And they're able to share Christ just as well as you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to leave you with this Valentine's thing here, something to do. I didn't bring you a Valentine. I wish I did today. If I do, I'd write three things down and leave a little bit of a blank there. They'll put it on the wall today, so you might have to write it down. And whether you're at Hope on the Street, or you're at work, or you're next door, I want you to prepare your Valentine message to the lost that you will meet this week. How many of you know you're going to meet some lost people this week? Somewhere. Prepare your Valentine message to the lost you'll meet this week. And here's how you prepare. Number one, what will you say or do to come alongside of them? How are you going to do that? How are you going to get beside them so you're close enough? Amen. Secondly, how will you turn that comfort into encouraging them to accept Jesus Christ? How will you lead into that? How will that come about? Sometimes you don't have to think too hard. It'll just happen. Amen? God will give you a word. Philip, he went beside the Ethiopian eunuch. The guy was reading the Bible. Boy, talk about an inn. Amen? He just came alongside. That's the words the scripture use. He came alongside the chariot. Guy's reading the Word of God. You know what his opening witness was? What you doing? What's that you reading? What's up? And he said, I'm reading, but I don't understand it. Oh, there it was. And he led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they went right past Ministry of Reconciliation into getting baptized. That guy was well on his way to being discipled and becoming himself an evangelist and a missionary. Hallelujah. And that's the last one. How will you bring them into partnership as a believer? Let's bring it all the way around, this repentance. How will you involve them? How will you bring them into a partnership as a believer? Find something that they can do that's getting them going in the same direction that you are. You're headed for home. You're headed for glory. They found Jesus. They've got a ticket to get there. Help them to get involved in the process of getting somebody else to get there. Amen? When they're involved in that, they won't be going in the wrong direction, or there's no way possible for them to go in the same direction for very long. I mean, they might be able to for a little while, but if they keep at it, there's no way that they're going in the wrong direction. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. May God add His blessing to the reading of the Word today. I want to give some opportunity today, not only for you to be thinking about this, and seriously do. I'll be thinking about it all week, just in preparation. That's why I asked Shelby, you know, how is it you can come alongside? What is it that brings comfort to people? But while I was preparing this message and thought about it, one of the things that came to mind was that story about how Jesus, in the middle of the night, when there was that troublesome sea, he came walking on the water across. And I've heard this story, and I've shared it, preached it before. Usually it's a message about that great faith of Peter. you know. And then how it wasn't so great for a little bit too. And then how he still got back into the boat. But a whole nother thought came to me about that is, you know, out of that group of disciples, I guess it was 12 of them there, but out of that group of disciples, there was only one that got out of the boat and walked, took that step out into those troubled waters. That's probably even greater than typical to have one person do that. Okay. I think most of us, we saw troubled waters. Why would you step out into it? Right? Why would you do that? You'd feel a whole lot more comfortable in the boat. Follow that story through. When was it that peace came to that troublesome situation? After everybody got in the boat. Peter was back in the boat. Jesus was back in the boat with him. And then there was peace. What that spoke to me is sometimes we need to come alongside people. Stepping out, I don't know who said that you got to step out. I'm glad we do it. I've heard a lot of reasons why you got to step out to come to the altar. You know, you're responding in a way, you're telling publicly, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are ready to proclaim that right away. Some people it takes a while before they're ready to give that testimony or to be baptized and say, hey, I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm not going to live the way that I have before. I had one young man that was in the church. It was his first time there. He was married, but he didn't know the Lord. And there was an old lady who he didn't know on the back row that she took his hand, and she just took it, and she was just the type of lady that I don't even know if she asked him or not, but she took his hand and brought him down to the altar. Wasn't his plan that day, but he decided to do it. He asked Christ into his life, and I can tell you that guy was changed. He started living for the Lord. He did a 180-degree turnaround. So I want you all to stand with me today, if you would. And I just want to give some opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. I'm going to ask our prayer partners, those of the staff, and pastors, and people that pray here as a prayer team up front, if you'll come at this time. And we just want to give an opportunity for a couple of things. One, to come alongside you if you're going through a troublesome situation, that a brother and sister in Christ can bring the comfort of God by joining together with you in prayer today. But also, we want you to have that eternal life ticket today. Amen. And if you're with somebody today, you know, maybe you're one who's like one of those, hey, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. I know God's talking to me and I'm going to make my way down here, but maybe there's somebody else that needs to look at somebody you came with and take their hand. Say, hey, can I go with you? And let's go down and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Jesus paid for it. Paid for it with his life. It's being offered right now, and you need to make that decision. Go ahead and come with somebody, okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer right now, shall we? And then, even as we're praying, if you'd like to come for prayer today, come and have someone pray with you this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort, that you have come from the most comfortable place of all in heaven, came down here and suffered, died at Calvary, bled for us, came alongside us in our trouble to show us your great love. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you died for everyone in this place. I implore you this morning right now to come. If you haven't received Christ, I implore you. I join the Apostle Paul. More importantly, I join with the message of Jesus Christ who came and died for you. Come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Come right now. If you need someone to take your hand, don't be worried or embarrassed about it. It's not a big deal. Most people might not step out. Come alongside someone today. You know, God's tugging on their heart, God's spoken to you. They need a brother right now, a sister. Step out. Come to the front. Let someone pray with you. Receive Christ today. Ask Him in. You died for me, Lord. Forgive me. I'm a sinner, Lord. Wash my sins away. I've not been living for you, Lord, but I'm going to live for you from now on. Yeah, I'm afraid. I've seen others fail. I've seen others mess it up, Lord Jesus. But I know that you promised that you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You're preparing a place so that I can be with you forever. Hallelujah. Receive the Lord today. There may be somebody else. You're going through some trouble. You don't have to name it out loud today, but you'd like someone to put a hand on you and just to come alongside you in prayer. It may be a loved one who's dying. It may be some bad news you just heard. It may be a job situation. I want you to know that God is with you in trouble today. Hallelujah. And I've asked this morning, it just kind of hit me right before preaching. Lord, I want the shadow of the Almighty to come in this place. Lord, let your almighty shadow come in and heal, and comfort, bless, and minister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. It's not a sign of weakness. All of us need to be comforted. The Apostle Paul needed to be comforted. Sometimes we just need that. We need somebody to pray for us. Somebody anoint with oil. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There may be others. Maybe you want to find a place of prayer around the altars here tonight. This morning, we're just going to open that up. You want to kneel and pray. You want to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. When we dwell with the Lord, the shadow of the Almighty comes. Lord, you are my healer. Lord, you are my peace. I've not been feeling peace, but I know you are my peace. Hallelujah. You're my present help in a time of trouble. Abba, Father, help me. Help me. I need a big friend now, Lord. Come along beside me right now. Begin to move the furniture around in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I'm desperate for you, Lord. It'd be easier for me to die than to keep on living. But this pain that I'm going through or you're going through today, this emptiness that you have is increasing the capacity that you have to overflow with the comfort of God into somebody else's life. It's not the 1% that's going to help the poor. It's the bottom 10% that already know what it's like to go through a hard time that are going to be able to minister the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you're going through now, God is in it with you. And you're going to be able to be in it with somebody else. So just praise Him. Confess Him. Confess who He is. Let Him overshadow you. Let Him heal you. Let Him touch you. Let Him speak peace. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There may be someone here today, maybe God isn't speaking to you to come forward, but just to lay hands on somebody next to you. You don't have to even say anything. Just put a hand on their shoulder if the Lord leads you. Just pray a prayer of blessing upon them. You never go wrong when you respond to the Holy Spirit prompting you to come alongside in Christ's love and in Christ's name. When you go, Christ comes alongside. Jesus comes into the situation. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God of all compassion. Blessed be the God of mercies. Blessed be. Blessed be the God of all comfort. Stand by me, Lord. I ask you now to stand in my place. I receive you as my Savior. Stand with me, Lord. Stand with me as I walk you with you and serve you. And as I plan now to go forward and follow you and tell others about you for the rest of my life. Never alone, Lord, never alone. I'm going with you. I'm going with you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I'm reminded of the admonition of Scripture. It tells us, as it's talking about the rapture, the day the trumpet will sound, Scripture says, comfort one another with these words. Encourage them. Encourage them with these words. Whether it be through life, whether it be through death, it doesn't change it. God is going to go with you. He's prepared a place for you. My pride. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Encourage one another with that. Comfort with that. Come alongside. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Stand by me, Lord. Stand by me, Lord. We worship you. Stand by me, Lord.
Stand by me, Lord.
Stand by us, Lord, as we serve you. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just ask now that as you continue to bless, that, Lord, you would go with, that you would stand by. You are Emmanuel today. Help us to prepare that Valentine, Lord. Go before us. Go before us. Prepare the way for the message of your love to be received into the hearts we minister to this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Faith to wash the feet of another is a faith that's not under cover. What can I do in a world that's hurting? But live like you always serve.